beginning of Lent, I attended a conference at Trinity Church on Wall Street in New York. And I heard a speaker there, a woman by the name of Sarah Miles. Sarah Miles comes from San Francisco, originally from New York, a Brooklyn girl, and moved to San Francisco many years ago. And about 10 years ago, she started something called the St. Gregory's Food Pantry. Now, this started at St. Gregory of Nyssa Episcopal Church. If you know San Francisco, it's in Potrero Hill. And St. Gregory's is unique in many ways, especially because of their liturgy. In fact, if you're playing on the net and you want to see some interesting things, I encourage you, while on YouTube, to do a search for St. Gregory of Nyssa. And it will bring you to the site of St. Gregory of Nyssa Parish in San Francisco. And it talks about their food pantry, and it talks about their liturgy. And their liturgy is just beyond words. It's kind of a hybrid between the Western liturgy of the Book of Common Prayer and the Orthodox liturgy, the liturgy of St. John Chrysostom. Sort of a hybrid in the middle, so it involves liturgical dance and lots of singing. And the liturgical dance, I say everybody dances. It's not just a few. It's a congregational movement. It's very interesting, and I encourage you to check it out sometime. However, I heard Sarah Miles speak. Now, you have to know something about my own background, too. I am a member of the Church of the Holy Apostles in New York City also. Church of the Holy Apostles is known. It's at 28th and 9th. It's an Episcopal church there, and it's very well known for its soup kitchen. Every day between Monday and Friday for the last almost 30 years, we at Holy Apostles feed between 1,100 and 1,700 people in need. And this has been happening for a long time. I heard this speaker in conjunction with something at Holy Apostles, so I went. Well, I wasn't prepared for what happened because Sarah Miles literally blew me out of the water. Spiritually, blew me out of the water. And it's what we're here to talk about today. We're here talking about the body of Christ. I marveled at the opening collect, and it talks about the Eucharist as something that we worship. Well, I changed that a little bit. I go on a step beyond that. It's not just something we worship. It's something we are. It's something we are. We just don't come and worship the Eucharist. You can sit in front of the Eucharist all day long, and I don't know what that will do, but we are the living Eucharist. We are the living bread. When we come to this table, we receive the bread. We say the body of Christ. Come what you perceive. Now the interesting, I'm going to read an excerpt of Sarah's book, and I'll just close up from there. Because Sarah says it all very, very well, and I don't normally do this, but I'm also encouraging you to go out and purchase this book. She has two. One of them I have just ordered. This one is called Jesus Freak. Feeding, Healing, Raising the Dead. The other is called Take This Bread. The story of a radical conversion. And let me read. And it's not very long, but it's also very engaging. So bear, I don't normally read something for a homily. I'm not at a loss to say. But when somebody says it better than me, I'll let them speak too. I came late to Christianity, knocked upside down by a midlife conversion, centered around a liberal chunk of bread. The immediacy of my conversion experience left me perhaps frequently convinced of the presence of Jesus around me. I hadn't figured out a neat set of beliefs, but discovered a force blowing uncontrollably through the world. Eating Jesus cracked my world open and made me hunger to keep sharing food with other people. That desire took me to an altar at St. Gregory of Nyssa Episcopal Church in San Francisco, where I helped break bread for Holy Communion, then to a food pantry that I set up around the same altar, where we gave away free groceries to anyone who showed up. From all over the city, poor people started to come every Friday to the church, 100, 200, 450, 800. And like me, some of them stayed. Soon they began to feed and take care of each other, then run things, then start other pantries. It was my first experience of discovering that regular people could do Jesus' work. In the thrilling and difficult years after my first communion, I kept learning that my new Christian identity required me to act. Simply going to church offered no ethereal juju that would automatically turn me into a less smug and self-righteous person. Time and again, I was going to have to forgive people I was mad at, say I was sorry, be honest when I felt petty, and sit down to eat, as Jesus did, with my betrayers and my enemies, the mad, the boring, and the merely unlikable. As I got pushed deeper into all these relationships, I started to suspect that the body of Christ was not a metaphor at all. Because there's one bread, as St. Paul, another pro-Polacks convert, wrote in astonishment, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Found that hard to swallow. Couldn't I choose whom I wanted to be yoked together with for eternity? And it was nerve-wracking. Sooner or later, I was going to have to consider the possibility that feeding wasn't the only command Jesus intended his one body to take seriously. All of us were expected to heal, to forgive, and raise the dead, not in some lofty symbolic way, but right here. And yet, on what many of my new church acquaintances insisted on calling rather smarmily my faith journey, I began to taste something, see something, touch something, which suggested that Jesus' vision of what we could do was true. I know this sounds nuts, I said to an old friend who'd been shocked at my conversion to a faith that I mocked and baffled by my sudden urge to give away pallets of lettuce and cereal. But we're all together at the Eucharist and at the food pantry, it's the same thing, because Jesus is real. Just one more section. Worship and service were parts of a whole. The Friday food pantry and the Sunday Eucharist were just expressions of the same thing. Well-meaning Christian visitors like to describe the pantry as a feeding ministry, but that just seemed like a nervous euphemism to me. What I saw was church. Hundreds of people gathering each week around an altar to share food and to thank God. And then on Sundays, in the very same space, communion. In the fullness of time, bring us, the congregation would say, with every tribe and language and people and nation to the feast prepared from the foundation of the world. The priest and whoever else was serving that day, a woman with cancer, a fussy older guy, a serene, angelic 7-year-old, in shorts, would lift plates of fresh bread and cups of wine and turn, showing the food to the people standing pressed close around the big round table in the middle of the sanctuary. You never knew who'd be holding the bread. Paul, who was one of the priests, liked to say that the surest sign of Jesus' presence in the Eucharist is when there's somebody completely inappropriate at the altar. frequently, that was me. Jesus welcomes everyone to his table, I announce. So we offer the bread and the wine, which are Christ's body and blood, to everyone without exception. There was no altar rail or line, so we head out into the crowd, carrying communion to clergy and teenagers, old ladies, Jews, and baptized Christians, random visitors. The body of Christ, I say, looking each person in the eyes, and holding and handing each person Jesus. And time would stop over and over and over. This thing is real. I think she says it very well. I'm not going to say much more except that this is real. It's real when we give it away. So when we take from this table, when we go out those doors, no matter where we are, remember that you are the body of Christ. And you're just waiting to meet God out there and somebody else. Go do the same. Sarah Miles, by the way, if you should be so interested, will be speaking in Montclair in October. She's going to be speaking at St. Luke's in Montclair, so I'll let you know if I hear any more on that. I certainly will be going to that, so I encourage you, if you are so interested, to also go. It would be totally worth your time and energy. Amen. Amen. The assurance of eternal life given to us.